This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's been a year and a half or so since what was left of Hurricane Harvey soaked Houston, Texas. And by soaked, I mean flooded in a really big way. Now, hundreds of victims of that flooding have filed suit against the federal government, the Army Corps of Engineers specifically, over how the government managed Houston's main reservoirs during the storm. Cases, these are, that could have implications across the country for who's liable when disaster strikes. From the Marketplace Hub at Houston Public Media, Travis Bubenik has the story.
On a normal day when Houston's not underwater, the Barker Reservoir is the perfect spot for a bike ride. The reservoir and a similar one near it are usually dry. They double as public parks. Michelle Freedy's out walking the trails, and like many people, she learned something else about the reservoirs after Harvey.
My sister-in-law's entire neighborhood is in the reservoir, so she flooded.
That's right. There are homes in the reservoirs. Welcome to Houston. Most of the reservoir land is federally owned, but some of it's private, so rows and rows of large suburban homes and gated neighborhoods sit within the boundaries. As the storm filled the reservoirs to the brim, those homes inside flooded. At the time, the Army Corps said that's the way the reservoirs were designed to work.
Quite frankly, our home should never have been built.
Tim Schauer owns one of those houses, which he says took on more than a foot of water thanks to the storm. He and his wife escaped by wading through brown, sewage-filled water while dodging floating mounds of fire ants and snakes. Now he thinks back to how years ago, when he was going to check out the house with a realtor, the car went over a little hill.
And I said, "Did we just go over a dam?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, but that was built back in the 30s, and they didn't know what they were doing, and it'll never flood. This whole area, they, you know, the engineers allowed us to build because it'll never flood."
Schauer isn't suing, but those near him who are say the government decided to take their property by letting the water fill up the reservoirs and flood the homes inside. People downstream from the reservoirs are suing too, saying the government took their property when it released water. Legal experts say both sides face an uphill battle, but attorney Vuk Vujasinovic says the case for his clients inside the reservoirs is different because the Army Corps knew the homes were a problem.
The government foresaw this would happen. They foresaw it to the extent that they discussed, you know, having to defend litigation because of it.
The U.S. Department of Justice is arguing the case for the federal government and declined an interview request. But in court filings, Justice Department lawyers argue that it was impossible to avoid flooding somebody's home. The homeowners, for their part, say the flooding was essentially a land taking, like when a government entity takes private property to build roads or bridges. Peter Burns, a Georgetown law expert on takings cases, he says the homeowners may have a tough time arguing this case fits that definition.
There is a long tradition in takings law, even outside of the flooding context, that emergency actions to prevent greater disasters that impose losses on some property owners are not takings.
Burns says if the homeowners do win these cases, it could make the federal government skittish about investing in flood control at all. University of Houston environmental law professor Tracy Hester is also watching this case closely because
we're writing the rules on how we're going to deal with disasters.
He says with climate change expected to spawn more intense and more frequent hurricanes, what happens with these cases could shape the legal precedent for future disputes over who's responsible for the damage from stronger storms.
Usually we try to give the government breathing room to make mistakes, but to act in good faith. But as the stakes keep getting higher, and we start seeing this happen more and more often, there's a certain change of expectations as to what sort of care we expect.
Back at Tim Schauer's house, there's a big new aquarium, Schauer's new hobby. He points out one tiny bluefish.
We call him the lone survivor because he's the only fish that survived.
After the storm, Schauer repainted his walls vibrant tropical colors, light blues and turquoise. And he says the beach vibes on purpose. The brown and tan colors the walls used to be just reminded him too much of the floodwaters. In Houston, I'm Travis Bubenik for Marketplace.